Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. This discipleship lesson is on music. And perhaps one of the, I almost said one of the more important lessons, but I'm not sure that's exactly true. I can't think of any of the lessons that are less important than another. But I will say that the music that we listen to is a substantial part of our spiritual growth. It's a key. If you want to look at it, it's a key component in our ability to grow spiritually and connect with God. There's nothing that God has created that can do what music does. Music has the ability to affect the soul, body, and spirit simultaneously. Nothing else that God has created can do that. There's other things that can affect the spirit, the soul, the body, but to be able to affect all three simultaneously is unique. Music is perhaps one of the most powerful forces on the planet. If you think about it, I've never met an individual ever who has said, I don't like any music at all. Now, I have certain music I don't like. I have certain music that I do like, but I've never met anybody who says, I don't like any music at all. Never meant that, because music is a universal language. It reaches out, crosses cultures, crosses divides. It is the one thing that can, quicker than almost anything else, other than possibly prayer and reading your Bible, that can connect you to the spirit world quickly. That's just how powerful music is. We'll see that anytime in the Bible, when music is used, there's a spiritual component to it. There is a spiritual use, if you will. And so it is important, I believe, that the music you listen to is Christ-honoring music. Because if music is this powerful, and it is, in fact, if you look at your Bible, the largest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms, which is a book of songs, So without a doubt, music is such a powerful tool. And if it is so important, and if it has such a power to it, there is no chance that the devil's not going to try to use it to. No chance. Of course, he is going to try to use music for his purposes. And so there is music that is not God-honoring. There is music that will invite an evil spirit or the wrong spirits into your life. And so we got to be careful there. And as a Christian grows and it gets closer to God, I think your standard of music will grow proportionally with that. And you'll begin to see, I'm hoping anyways that as you get closer to God, there'll be an instinctual distaste for music that invites the wrong spirits into our lives. It's a very controversial subject, and so I approach it very delicately because a person's music is very, very important to them. I mean, everybody likes music of some sort, and most of us has spent money on music. I mean, we all listen to it. I mean, when we want to relax or we want to psych ourselves up for something. There was a guy when I was in Colorado, there was a neighbor, and we came home from church one day, and he had his music just blaring the whole neighborhood. And he already knew, I'd already asked him in times past to turn his music down. So as soon as he saw us show up and we made eye contact, you know, and the music, he started doing this to the music. He was waiting for me to come. I mean, he was waiting to do battle. I mean, he was getting, and even oftentimes when people go to do battle, to go to war, that music would be playing. A music that would be appropriate to that battle, to that war, if you will. And so music is highly important to our spiritual well-being, our spiritual life, We all like music of some sort. We all grow up, listen to it. Could you imagine watching a movie, but there's no music to it? It's not as intriguing, is it? And music is powerful. Anybody here ever watch Homeward Bound? That's an older movie now. And with a cat and two dogs that go on this journey trying to get back home. Children, we need you to have a seat and stay seated. And for me, that would help out quite a bit. And so at the very end of that movie, that the very end of that movie, when, you know, one dog comes back, the cat comes back, and there's one dog left, Chance. You know, we saw Chance, I think it was Chance. No, the other dog, not Chance. Chance was the goofy one, the younger one, whatever it was. But the other dog, and he was falling in a pit or something and was trapped, and we don't know what was happening to him, and we don't know. And the music is... If it wasn't the music, he just comes up the hill, we'd be like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. It wouldn't affect us at all, but all of a sudden, that music with the dog coming back over the hill caused so many people to cry. And the tears of joy. You know, a horror film is not very scary if you mute it. If you just mute it, then it's just not very scary. It's the music that has an effect on the way you... It has a spiritual effect. It stirs up emotions. It stirs up your joy, your sadness. There was a man years ago, back in the 90s, who was a police officer, and he'd often respond to teen suicides. And he had determined back in the 90s that these teen suicides, he began to predict that there was at least one of three rock, heavy metal rock albums that they were listening to, that in the spirit behind those albums was suicide. That encouraged, and they invited a spirit of self-murder into their lives. And that encouraged that behavior, that action. It's very tragic. But music is powerful. Powerful. Music can be healing. So we dance to the beat. It affects us physically. Years ago, I was in the mall walking, and then all of a sudden I realized there was music playing, and all of a sudden I realized I was walking to the beat of the music. And it's controlling. It introduces a spirit into our lives. And so I have a particular standard in music, but I'm not here to try to impose my standard of music on people, because I believe music is something that every Christian is going to have to deal with God about directly, and I think it's a process of growth. And I'd like to see a lot of growth in Christians, because I do think that your ability to connect with God is going to be directly tied to the music you listen to. Because if you listen to the wrong type of music, it's going to sever that connection, because it's inviting the wrong spirit. Let's look at some verses here so we can get an idea. I'm not making this stuff up here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 through 20. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Here's the command. Two commands here. Don't be drunk with wine, right? And the second one is this, but be filled with the what? The Spirit. Now, if you're saved, you do have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, but that is not the same concept as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Spirit of God to do the work of God. If you're a Christian, you're sealed. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can do despite to the Spirit of grace, the Bible teaches us. And so you can kind of take the Holy Spirit and lock him, the power of the Holy Spirit, and lock him in a closet someplace. And you can do that. But the Bible says that we're to be filled with the Spirit, the power, that specific Spirit of God. And And that spirit should shine out from us. It should be evident. Wherever we go, people should see the Spirit of God in our lives, our attitude, our behavior, our actions, our words. All of that should be brought out. So that's the command. The command is don't be drunk with wine, because wine is another. Have you ever heard wine is often termed spirits? Because it invites the wrong spirit. Alcohol does in this case. And so don't be drunk with wine or the alcohol. He says, but we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? How do you get filled with the Spirit? Well, the next two verses tells us how. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the what? To the Lord. This is one of the number one ways to be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit of God, is to sing the things that make melody to the Lord, to God. And then verse 20 also adds to that, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the key. You see here that to be filled with the Spirit involves first music. Music always invites a spiritual component into your lives, always does. It is definitely a controversial subject because everybody likes music, but that there is wrong music is clear. It's such a powerful tool that there's no way the devil would leave it alone. There's no way that the devil wouldn't use it. And it's been clearly documented that music has caused rebellion, has caused teen suicide, has caused division and anger, has caused all sorts of things. Music is such a powerful tool that the Bible, let's look at some of the power of music here. I think I want to do that. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to read quite a few verses here, but if you need a Bible, does anybody need a Bible at all? 1 Samuel 16? Okay. 1 Samuel 16, I want to show you the spiritual power of music. The story, let me give you a little bit of background here. The story is of King Saul and a young boy by the name of David. Saul was king of Israel at the time. David eventually would become the king of Israel, but he's not at this point. He's a lad. He's probably around 16 years of age, 16, 17. I'm not certain. He's not old enough to go to war. You have to be 21 to do that back in the culture of this time period. But he's a young man. He's already defeated a bear. He's already defeated a lion that tried to get his father's flock. So he is a mighty man of valor, and he's an up and coming young man. But this young man learned how to play the harp. And people had heard about his playing. His playing was such an amazing thing. And guess who wrote most of the Psalms in your Bible? David did. And all of his songs were dedicated to whom? The Lord, the God. And so because of what some of the things that Saul was doing, he had rebelled against God. His heart was turning away from against God. And as a result of that, look what happens here in verse number 14. But the Spirit of the Lord, what happened here? Departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. An evil spirit troubled Saul. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubled thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be what? Well, interesting, is it not? And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. They wouldn't have chosen me to play the cello, because I don't play well yet. But apparently David does. David plays well. And one of the servants said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and a prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse. So let me stop here and say this about David. That not only was David adept at playing on the harp, but they could tell that the Lord is with him. There was a spirit about David, correct? There was a spirit. And that spirit came out a lot in the music that he listened to. And the music that he played. So, wherefore, verse number 19, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. So now we're going to skip a couple verses here and look at verse number 23. So David shows up, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. Now watch the effect that the music had on the spirit of Saul. He was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Remember music, I mentioned earlier that music has the power to affect the body, soul, and spirit. We see that here. We see the three effects on Saul from the harp that was playing. His body, he was made well, he was refreshed, that was the soul, and this evil spirit departed, and that was the spiritual side of it. All three effects take place with this music. That's how powerful it is. And just a few other verses here, let me talk about this. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, another story here, and somebody said, bring me a minstrel, a player, a music player. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. What an interesting statement that when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, if you will, came upon him. That's how powerful music is. Music was primarily created to connect us to the spiritual world so that we could worship God, so that we could praise the Lord in a way that is denied us without music. The spiritual realm is all around us, but we're so fleshly, it's hard to discern it. Music, though, can connect you to the spiritual world quickly. A couple more verses here. In Judges chapter 5, verse number 3, there's a verse that says, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. In Psalms 81:1, the Bible says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. In Psalms 95:1, the Bible says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And what is interesting is that when music is used in a negative way in the Bible, it is almost always tied to some spiritual matter. Let's look at a few of those. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 5. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 5. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was created or built, had built this huge giant idol in the plains of Dura. And he gathered all of the nations and all of his magistrates and all of his administrators and all the people and all the anybody important was there. Not all of them. Daniel wasn't there, actually. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's their Hebrew names, were present at this. They were commanded to be present at this dedication of this idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And there was a command given, verse number 5, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. So the purpose of the music was to enhance, if you will, or encourage a spiritual connection to this idol. And back then, these idols, they weren't just, yeah, this was made of gold, that's true. But there was often a spiritual power behind these idols, these false gods that they were worshiping. And that's one reason why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had absolutely no intention at all of worshiping or bowing down. I mean, I probably would have faked it because the consequence of not bowing down would have just been, was getting thrown into a fiery furnace. But, and verse number six, and whoso falls not down and worshipeth shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So not only they had to bow down, but they had to worship, and the music encouraged that worship. That was the purpose of the music. There was a spirit and intent behind the music that was spiritual in nature. And you can see in verse number seven, therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, of course, except for those three. In Psalms chapter 69 and verse number 12, there's an interesting verse. They that sit in the gate speak against me. This is David writing. He goes, and I was the song of drunkards. The song of drunkards. In other words, he's being mocked in song. So there's a spiritual component of mockery. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses and Joshua had gone up to the top of Mount Sinai, I believe, and they had gotten the Ten Commandments. They were up there for some time. The people, he was gone so long, in fact, the people thought he must be dead or God had taken him. And they decided that they had waited long enough and they got nervous, they got scared, they were worried about surviving. So they went to Moses' brother, Aaron, and said, look, Moses is gone, make us some gods that we can worship. So he gathered, he collected all their earrings, golden earrings and things of that nature. And according to Aaron, he says, I threw the gold in the fire and these calves just popped out. Now, that's not exactly what happened. He was trying to justify something to Moses later on when Moses confronted him on it. But he created these two calves, these, which is, by the way, were part of the way the Egyptians worship. So they were going back to the way the Egyptians had done things. Egyptians worshiped the calves and cats even and other animals, thinking that they were manifestations of these various gods and deities that they worship. So Aaron brought them back to the Egyptian style of worship. And guess what accompanied that type of worship? Music. Dancing. Let's look at it. Verse 17 of Exodus 32. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. He confused because it was the spirit behind the music was not uplifting to God. It was jumbled. It was chaotic. It was harsh. Apparently, he thought a war was going on. A battle was happening. And he said, that's Moses, said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. That's what Moses said. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the what? Dancing. When you dance to music, right? That's why you dance. You dance to music. There was music. There was singing. That was going on. And the result of that, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables of the Ten Commandments out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. He's like, man, I just got the Ten Commandments and I no sooner get down and you've broken them all. He smashed them. He was upset. But there was music playing that led toward this worship of this devil, of this false god. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 6, Herod the Great's sons was reigning, and Herod's birthday was kept, and the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Let's see if I can explain that a little bit. Herodias was the wife of one man. She jumped ship, so to speak, and became the wife of the brother and the other Herod. There was two Herods. And John the Baptist said, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. They put John in prison. Herodias decided she wanted him dead. So she had her daughter dance seductively before Herod. Had to be music again that played, because there was music playing when there was dancing happening. The spirit behind the music, the spirit behind the dance was seductive, a seductive spirit. And it pleased Herod. And he said, look, I'll give you whatever you want up to half of my kingdom. And she says, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And that's what he did. They cut John's head off as a direct result of that. So here again, you can see how music has a spiritual effect, even the wrong one. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 5, the Bible says it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. The song of fools. And the Bible teaches us what the fool is. All you got to do is read the book of Proverbs. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what the fool says in his heart. So the song of fools often denies God, turns you away from God. And so there's plenty of those songs out there, or they're not. Plenty of those songs that point away from God, that only point to instead the wrong spirit. Let me see, in just a few minutes I have left on this. I'm not here to tell you what type of music is right, what type of music is wrong. Except for this. You need to be careful of the spirit of the music that you're listening to. The spirit of the music that you're listening to, whether it's the words or the music itself, because the music itself, as we know, can have a spiritual effect. It can create fear, as in like a horror movie. It can create joy, as in like the Homeward Bound. It can create anger. It could get you psyched up for fight. There's an emotional component that music affects you. There's a spirit to it. And as a direct result of that spirit, the spirit behind the music, the words and the music itself, if it does not bring you closer to God, it's probably not something that, if it brings you, let me put it this way, if it takes you away from God, it is not something that you should be listening to. When you listen to music and you listen to the words of the music and you sing those words, you are confessing the spirit of that music. And when you confess it, means you are united your mind, your thinking, and your heart away from God. And that's the danger of it. Do not be deceived, because the devil will use music to pull you away. Absolutely, 100% guaranteed, without a doubt. The devil will do that. The music you listen to is so important. If you want to knit your heart to God, if you want the presence of God, to feel connected to the presence of God, listen to music that connects your spirit and your heart to Him. Someone asked me, what about like classical music or soundtracks from like Indiana Jones or Star Wars, or John Williams writes a lot of those, that type of thing. What about those? That type of music is still spiritual. It can create an emotion, correct? They can create an emotion. It's still a spiritual thing. It's kind of what the only term I know how to use it, it's neutral. It doesn't invite an evil spirit, but neither does it lift you up to connect you to God. So it's kind of neutral. There's almost like a spirit of entertainment behind it, which entertainment is not necessarily wrong, though it can be. But there's a spirit of entertainment more than that there's a spirit of connecting you to God. So I don't think it's wrong. I like listening to various soundtracks. If I'm jogging or running or something of that nature, or if I'm doing exercise, sometimes I'll listen to soundtracks from certain movies that are not personally rock, because the beat of rock music affects my flesh too much. And I don't want to put my flesh before the spirit. That's why I don't listen to rock music. I don't want to put my flesh before the spirit. And I want the spirit to have preeminence. So the music I listen to is first spiritual. But that doesn't mean that all music that's spiritual and puts the flesh first doesn't mean that it's all good. Because isn't there seductive music as well? The spirit of seducing? Of course there can be. Got to be careful of the music that we listen to. The Bible asks us to be separate from the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God." To know those things that are freely given to us of God, we must be connected to that spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Excuse me. Music that promotes the flesh or the wrong spirit should not be listened to. These spirits affect the way you think, the way you feel, and your attitudes toward life, your approach to life. Music is a doorway to certain spiritual attitudes that we adopt. I've seen it so often. I've watched Christians who listen to music that connects them to the wrong spirits. I watch them struggle with their relationship with God. Because on one hand, they want God's presence, but they're inviting in the wrong spirit at the same time. And the two cannot work together. They clash. If you really want to grow spiritually, your music is one of the best things you can do. Changing your music will affect how quickly you grow as a Christian. take the spirit behind some country songs and I'm just the spirit behind them. The spirit behind it is like divorce. It's like it's poor fella, his wife left him, his dog bit him, the car broke down. There's nothing holy, or the intent behind the music is not holy. It doesn't connect you to God. So you invite that spirit when you sing that song. And people who go through breakups, what type of songs do they listen to after they go through a breakup? She left me. I mean, again. But it becomes, they're inviting that spirit of division back into their life. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't connect them to God. All it does is stir up that spirit, that wrong spirit in them. So many of the rock and heavy metal songs are about drugs, sex, and evil, suicide and murder. I mean, it's just the words alone and the music, the beat to the music is evident. When I was in Bible college, there was a girl there that, I got to know a little bit, and she told me that she used to be a former witch. That was a little strange, meeting an ex-witch in Bible college. I mean, better be an ex-witch in Bible college than a current witch. Amen. So she's an ex-witch. And I asked questions. I was curious. She said a bunch of things. One of the things she said, she goes, for example, you see all these symbolism of witchcraft. That is all fake stuff. My master wears a three-piece suit, had short haircut, lived in a nice little house with a white picket fence. He was possessed, she said, of over 38 demons. She goes, when we wanted to assist in possession, there was four things, she said, that would help in assisting into demonic possession. Now, I'm just telling you what she said. You can take it or leave it. Number one, she said, is alcohol. Number two is drugs. Number three, and I'm skipping this on order, of course, but number three, she said, was role-playing games, like Dungeons and Dragons. She says, because that invites, you open yourself up to a spiritual component with those, she said. She goes, and the fourth one is rock music. Her words. So she said, that listening to that invited a spirit of possession. And so whatever your belief is about that, whether you agree with her or not, I mean, I had no reason to deny her words or what she said, but whether you agree with it or not, or feel like I don't have that, I don't have a similar, I don't think that that would happen or whatever, you can't deny the fact that music does connect you to the spiritual world. And so if you want, and God is a spirit, and those who want to worship God must worship him in spirit. And so one of the best ways to worship God is through what? Because that immediately connects you to the spiritual world. That's what the purpose of music does. It is, rather, so important. So I want to encourage you to pay attention to the music that you listen to. I have a high standard in my home of music. My wife has a higher standard yet, and so we abide by my wife's standard. We don't listen to anything with a syncopated offbeat, rock beat. We're very careful. My wife won't listen to any artist that sings with that almost seductive, breathy voice. You know what I'm talking about? And she goes, oh, she hears that even in Christian artists. She goes, well, we're not listening to that. Because she's worried about the spirit and the intent behind that. And a lot of these people, that's how they grew up thinking. I mean, they listen to these worldly artists like, Elvis. Okay, there we go. Though I think Elvis is dead, I believe. Unless you believe in conspiracy theories, that he's still out there someplace. But there's some modern ones. I can't think of their names. Okay, you should not know that. You walked into that one. Okay, Taylor Swift. And she's very popular, I think, right now. But her singing style is often kind of that, I believe. I've never actually listened to her. But is that kind of that breathy type of... Don't even ask me to try to duplicate it. But my wife will not listen to even Christian artists who sing in that voice. And that's just our standard. We're trying to be connected to, we want our music to glorify and honor our God. And that's why we chose what we chose when it comes to music. You say, Pastor, do you mean if I do, I mean, there's something wrong with me? No, I don't. When it comes to music, here we're going to hold a higher standard. Okay, we're not going to start bringing drums in, and we're not going to have people start banging their heads, and we're not going to have strobe lights flashing around. We're not going to make this into a rock concert. It's not happening here. We're not even going to do a country western concert. We're just not. We're not going to do it. We're going to keep a high standard here at the church. You're going to have to look at your own music and determine whether or not it is connecting you to God or not. I'd pray about it. I'd get on your knees, and I would hold out what your favorite artist, your favorite singer, your favorite album, favorite CD, flash drive now, streaming service, whatever it is that you are using to bring music into your home, and hold and present it to God and say, God, is this connecting me to you, or is it connecting me to something that is denying you? If it is connecting you to something that is denying God, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no, then I would get rid of it. I would get rid of it. Teenagers, I've watched teenagers, the music that teenagers listen to affect their attitudes and rebellion. And I've seen it in marriages where the music they listen to encourages divorce and separation. I've seen the effect of music on athletes, I've seen it on children, I've even seen it on plants. And there's been tests done about where they'll play like classical music on plants and then rock music how it stunts the growth of the rock music, will stunt the growth of the plants. I don't know how all of that is true or not, but I will say this. Your ear, there's more nerves, I believe, in your ear than any place else. Sound can literally make you sick. Can it not? You ever been in school when the old chalkboards and somebody scratched their fingers on those chalkboards? And what did that do to your spine? Yeah, it's exactly what happens. And sound can affect you physically as well as spiritually. We saw that with Saul. He was affected physically, his soul and his spirit, from the music that was played by King David. So important. And I can't, outside of prayer, outside of Bible reading, outside of being around fellow brothers and Christians, I can't think of anything more important to your to the establishment of your spiritual growth than the music you listen to. Can't think of anything. That's just how important it is, how powerful it is. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you'd bless us now. Give me wisdom. Give us wisdom as we leave here and we consider this matter of the music that we're listening to and whether or not we should continue to do so. So bless us, please. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.